Welcome to the Amplifying Leadership Podcast. I am your host, Tara Lehman, a partner, coach, and consultant at Twin Life Coaching and Business Services, of which Amplifying Leadership is a division. This podcast is a place dedicated to amplifying your leadership through our guest stories, tips, information, and more. To learn more about Amplifying Leadership, please visit us at amplifyingleadership.ca. Today, I am welcoming Jeff Weninger, a recognized expert in law enforcement as a retired lieutenant, as well as the founder and CEO of Law Enforcement Consultants, LLC. Welcome to Amplifying Leadership today.
Thank you for having me.
So I'm happy and excited to get to the topic, but let's start with a little bit about you and your leadership story.
Okay, well, I think leadership starts back when you're very young, and how you are raised and the experiences you have growing up in life. My background is quite unique. I was adopted. I was adopted by my father, who was a sociologist, university professor, and my mother was a chemist. And she decided to forego her career because she wanted to be a full-time mother. And they wanted children 1 year apart and a total of four. So then they adopted my brother, and he's Japanese. And I had a foster sister who was Black. So I grew up in the 60s and 70s in Kent, Ohio.
Okay.
It was a unique experience being in that multiracial family in a predominantly white environment.
I bet.
I have some unique experiences to fall back on. And so it changes the paradigm in which I look at leadership challenges through. And I have a different perspective. Growing up, I was an elite athlete. I played ice hockey. And in high school, I was the captain of my hockey team. In college, I was I played Division I college hockey on scholarship, and I was the captain of my hockey team. And I learned a lot of lessons in leadership there,
and
how people are all different, and one leadership style will not necessarily align or be received by everybody. And it's important to be very gracious and poised in the manner in which you lead people in order to maximize their full potential. And then with that, I took those lessons into my career in law enforcement, where I continued to learn and grow as a leader with the challenges that I faced with the Los Angeles Police Department with over 30 years of service. And since my retirement, I've continued to be a leader. I'm absolutely 100% committed to being focused and passionate about being productive and creating my own Picasso, so to speak. Because during my law enforcement career, I saw many, many flaws that law enforcement can improve upon moving forward in the 21st century to close that gap between what happens in law enforcement on a daily basis and what actually societal expectations are.
And you've touched on a couple of very key points. One is adaptive leadership styles. And I agree, and you're absolutely right. I mean, before we started recording, we were talking about how this podcast is global, and we're talking to all various different kinds of leaders. But people, you're right, absolutely are different. And you know that from growing up even, right? So adaptive leadership is something that is really important. Let me just touch on that for a second. So when you were, let's say, you know, in enforcement and you had to adapt to leadership, how did you know how to adapt to your audience? How did you know that Tara is one way and Jeff is another way, so to speak?
Well, first, you have to understand the various styles of leadership. And I believe a strong leader, someone that's going to excel, is one that possesses all four types of leadership. And they can draw on any one of those in any given moment. So you need to have, you know, be autocratic, where you can make a decision on your own and be decisive and intentional in that decision. You also have to be democratic at times, where you want consensus and you bring in everybody and their opinions. You want to have, you know, creative encounters where you can have conflict of thought, where you're ultimately, it's not about being right, it's about getting it right. And that requires as many voices and different opinions as possible. And oftentimes organizations aren't open to that. Their culture is not really conducive to that sort of a thing. You also have to be at times laissez-faire, where you stand back. You pick people to work for you and you inspire a shared vision, and you allow them, you enable them to act, you allow them to move forward as leaders. Not only are you going to be able to successfully accomplish the goal, but you're also developing them to be the future leaders. And
Yeah.
that's what true leaders do. They have a succession plan. And then ultimately, you need to be, transformative, where you just really are inspiring people to share in your vision. And I've always said the best ideas I ever had didn't come from me. It was from people I surrounded myself by. So it's when you use all those different types of leadership styles, you learn over time which you need to be effective in any particular circumstance. And frankly, in the news since January 1st, when we had the New Orleans incident, and then we had the
Yes.
Las Vegas incident, and now we're having all these wildfires out in Los Angeles, which was my home for over 30 years. I have friends that have lost their homes,
It's tough.
but we can sit here and sit back and learn a lot about leadership by the failures as well as the successes in what we're seeing in real time.
Yeah, I agree. And I am a person who sees any failure or mistake as an opportunity to learn and grow. And it sounds like that is the same type of thing that you believe in, is let's take a look at it. What did we not do well? What did we do well? And how can we change moving forward, right?
That couldn't be more true. And the problem is, unfortunately, many times in organizations, whether it's in law enforcement or it's in business or what have you, there's a culture that is resistant to being honest about the realities of deficiencies. And the growth is stifled as a result of that because people don't focus on doing the right thing at the right time for the right reasons. They get caught up in the minutia of we have to do what's best for the organization. And oftentimes, and I'll give you the analogy with law enforcement, what's best for the organization is being honest, even though it may be a black eye. The trust that you're building by being honest and holding yourself accountable and in finding ways and ensuring the public that you're going to fix this problem moving forward and that it won't happen again, that's worth its weight in gold
Oh,
versus
yes.
circling the wagons and denying that there's any flaw. And there's not a week that goes by that there's not a significant incident in law enforcement where you can't point to that being the actual case.
I'll bet you in most organizations, in most industries, every week there's going to be some sort of mistake or failure we can learn from so we can grow. And you mentioned continual improvement earlier on when you were talking about your story. And for me, that is huge because that was always about how can we improve? It's about continual improvement, not and using our past to grow and move forward, not using our past to place blame, but really what in the process failed.
I mean,
Right?
absolutely. I mean,
Yeah.
I used to be the officer in charge of the detective entity that investigated officer-involved shootings and lethal force incidents
Okay.
for the Los Angeles Police Department. And in those, there's not a tactical scenario that I've ever seen, and I'm talking about over 700 cases that I've had in, that there aren't things that you can identify that can be improved upon in the event that you're confronted with a similar circumstance in the future. And I designed a debrief model based on the Blue Angels, the
Okay,
performance
yeah.
pilots, where after every flight, they are just critically honest about themselves first, and then they have a group debrief where
Right.
they go in even deeper. But with that honesty is you're building confidence of those around you that you identify the deficiency, you're holding yourself accountable, and you're demonstrating that you're able to implement those things that need to be done to fix that. So that gives them the confidence to trust in you further in the future. And that's what it's really all about. So much can be learned by how other entities and organizations perform these types of very critical and challenging, insightful critiques of themselves. And many organizations could learn from that and improve.
Oh, for sure, for sure. Yeah. So I want to take this idea of the improvement and that self-reflection or group reflection. And a little bit about what you like to talk about is how leaders can make a more positive change in the world. What would you say, How do we do that? What does that mean to make a positive change in the world as a leader?
I think really you're only going to be as effective as you are perceived to be trustworthy.
Okay.
So you have to develop trust, and through trust, how do you do that? Through integrity, through honesty, and being honest about your emotions. Law enforcement leaders will stand there and look so stoic and stone-faced when you're talking about very emotional things that are occurring. And the perfect example is what's going on in Los Angeles right now with the wildfires. And there's nothing wrong with showing some emotion.
No,
That
there's not.
will appeal to people. People want to see that. That shows that you're vested. That will draw people in and have them listen more closely to what you have to say. Because you're only going to be as effective as the people that you serve are going to allow you to be. And it's so important to just be honest to the point where it may be painful for the organization. There's a lot of opportunity for criticism and critique with what's going on out there in Los Angeles with the
For
police department,
sure.
fire department, with the governance. Absolutely. And what people need to not hear is what's going on. People pointing the finger, not taking personal accountability, trying to distract and show the shiny thing over here to detract people from seeing what the real flaws are. And it's just what a breath of fresh air for somebody just to be honest and say, this didn't go well, and we are going to have to fix it, and this is what we're going to do to fix it. And we're not seeing that leadership there right now. Where, in contrast, you looked at the incident on January 1st in Las Vegas, where you had that Tesla Cybertruck that blew up in front of the Trump
Yes, I
casino and
saw
hotel.
that.
And you looked at how the law enforcement responded to that, evacuating people, the public communication, one voice, very deliberate and decisive in the information that was provided, not only with what they knew, but what they didn't know. Because where you leave a void and a gap, it will get filled with rumor, innuendo, conspiracy theories. And Mark Twain's always said, a lie or misinformation will get halfway around the world before the truth even gets its shoes on.
Oh,
So
yes, 100%.
that's leaders need to be insightful and self-aware of their responsibility to be very clear and decisive in the narratives in which they are putting out relative to these critical incidents. Whether you're in law enforcement, you're in fire, or you're a CEO, or you're just in charge of a management team. It's these are the same principles that you have to be guided by.
And I love that you said, we need to be open and honest with what we know, what we don't know, because you're right, that gap, even in, say, smaller organizations to much larger ones, the gossip starts. Or the gossip starts outside of organizations and in the public, or, all those other theories. And so when we start to hear that gossip as leaders, I think that communication that you're really talking about, we also need to stop the gossip by telling them what we don't know. I love that you mentioned, because telling them what you do know is easy. Telling them what you don't know is the harder part. And that's where gossip starts. And that's where we can end it as leaders as well. What are your thoughts on that?
Well, yeah, the perfect example is in New Orleans when we had that truck that went and killed 14 innocent people on Bourbon Street in the French Quarter. And the initial information that was coming out was this truck crossing the border. And what happened? We had all this information going out on social media, all these political figures trying to take advantage of the opportunity, making these statements about, the immigration policy, look what it has done. And when what ultimately ended up being the case? This guy was a United States citizen and it had nothing to do with immigration. And there's a perfect example of the failure of leaders managing that narrative and saying, putting out and allowing information to be put out that isn't necessarily accurate or hasn't been confirmed. Yes, this day and age, everybody's got a cell phone, everybody has internet on it. They have this expectation that they can get information in within seconds and want to be told things. But With my background in the investigation of Austin Rawls shootings, it takes time to get the information, reconcile it, and corroborate it to the point where it's ready to be released. And when you fail to put out what you know and what you don't know, and give the people that are concerned confidence that you're doing the things you need to be doing to be able to answer the questions that you don't have answers to in the near future, then people will pause, they'll stand back and give you that opportunity. But when you mismanage your narrative as a leader, you're creating all kinds of problems. And that's what happened within the New Orleans scenario versus what happened with Las Vegas. Masterful, masterful control of the narrative.
Yes, and communication is a hot topic and one of my favorites when it comes to leadership. No matter what kind of communication or what size organization or type you're in, that communication needs to happen. It can't be something that is misplaced or forgotten because when we don't communicate, it just leaves our minds like to be creative and it will create what it wants to create. So thank you for having that bit of a communication conversation with me because I think it really does resonate with making that positive change going forward because this is communication is one way of doing that and making sure that we don't, gossip doesn't happen or we kibosh it the second it does, no matter where we are or whatever those other, discussions are on the side. So what do you think would be one of the biggest obstacles in managing this type of positive change or the communication for positive change if I'm a brand new leader? What would be that biggest obstacle I should know about before moving into my leadership role, so to speak?
Organizational culture
Yes, okay.
oftentimes is designed to protect itself. We saw it in Butler, PA, when President-elect Donald Trump had the assassination attempt on him. With the Secret Service and the release of the information, they went into complete protection mode, allowing all kinds of rumors to start. And that's a perfect example of just the culture. And that culture is a result of complacency. As a leader, you're not paid for what you're managing on any given day. It's what you get paid for what you're going to have to do when you're managing a crisis, whether it's a personnel crisis, whether it's a crisis as a result of an assassination attempt, of somebody you're responsible for protecting. Or it's safeguarding the citizens of Los Angeles during the wildfires. The bottom line is you have to have a culture that is open to providing information and not necessarily, if you're doing it after the incident, it's a failure. It's about having the insight and the knowledge and the capacity and credibility to look into things. Ask the tough questions and ensure that things are in place before something critical happens. And something that's critical may not even be able to be avoided, but you can mitigate the consequences if
For
you're
sure.
taking steps on the front end. And that's where leadership builds its confidence. And that's where in Los Angeles, there's no confidence right now in the leadership. We had fire hydrants that had no water in them. How is that possible?
Wow.
In July of last year, we had 1,600 fire insurance policies dropped in Pacific Palisades after it was identified as one of the top five wildfire risks in Southern California. If the city of Los Angeles wasn't scratching their head going, why is this happening? What does the private sector know that we don't know? And so why was a reservoir allowed to remain empty? 117 million gallons worth of water that remained empty. I mean, all of these things that people are going to have to answer to. It doesn't give the citizens, which you're sworn to protect, confidence that you're competent in doing your job. So it's really about asking those tough questions on the front end and making sure you've done the mitigation factors to address these unusual occurrences, which happen very infrequently, but you can't have fragmented leadership. You have to have collaborative leadership.
Yeah, I'm a big advocate when I'm working with some small to medium-sized companies with business coaching, or the consulting is to really build those risk plans into your procedures as you go. I'm working with a company right now where as we go through each process and we document it procedurally and forms, et cetera, we make sure that document, okay, what are the risks that could happen with this process? Let's take care of the contingency plan now. So if it does happen, we have our risk plans in place and we review them every year to make sure this is, obviously still are valid. So I really do like that you're talking about asking those questions, getting those contingency plans early. Like, let's make sure we have that communication and those plans in place so we don't have to worry about what happens if. And if it does happen, we go, this is what we're doing and this is the plan. So I love that you brought that up. So as we start to close our discussion today, I'm wondering if you can share with us that tip about transparency and how that can, really enable our leaders to be better leaders, being transparent and sharing of information.
Well, it really requires courage. Courage to do the right thing at the right time for the right reasons. And it's never comfortable to have these difficult conversations when you're a leader. And there's times that you're going to have to hold yourself accountable, where just like a parent, there's no perfect parent. There
Yes,
is no
agreed.
perfect leader. Every opportunity you have, you're gonna, if you reflect back on your handling of various situations or circumstances, you're going to find things that you can improve upon. And that's the learning. That's the learning process that goes on. I've been in leadership roles pretty much my entire life, but let me tell you, I mean, I've been evolving the entire time. And it's about
Exactly.
lessons learned. And I have a forthcoming book that's coming out this spring. It's called On Thin Ice. And it's about law enforcement and the deficiencies in law enforcement. And it's a blueprint relative to what needs to be done moving forward. And it's an honest assessment and critique of law enforcement. There's no hiding the ball here. And it's going to be make people very uncomfortable.
Right.
But it's the blueprint that's going to ensure that law enforcement can be successful moving forward in the 21st century. And it's about being committed to that and continually being innovative and creative and not accepting no or we can't do that as the answer. That's never worked for me. If I would have listened to that, then I'm dyslexic. I would have never gone to college. I would have never graduated college if I listened to the people that were influencing me initially, not my parents, but educators and things when I was a young teenager in elementary school. I was reading at a first grade level in fifth grade, and I really had concerns about. I knew something was different, and I had a problem. But luckily, the right people were able to surround themselves around me and taught me how to read and learn as a dyslexic child. But the reality is, and that's true leadership. Back then,
Absolutely.
dyslexia wasn't really known. I was called in by my reading teacher in seventh grade during my lunch to have her put me through some testing. There was nothing sponsored or paid for through the school district. This was just a true leader that cared and was passionate about what she did and saw a child that was struggling, and she had an idea of what might be the problem. And then when she confirmed it, she had me come in during my lunch hour and she taught me how to read as a dyslexic.
Wow.
And that's true leadership. That's
That
leadership
is
we're
beautiful.
talking about. Yeah, changed my
Yeah.
life, gave
Yeah.
up opportunities for me. So, at the end of the day, that's what all organizations should be looking for. Whether you're a teacher or you're the chief of police or you're a CEO, you need to be compassionate, you need to be empathetic, you need to those are the things that are going to resonate with people. If you can tug on people's emotion, logic, and rationale, they're going to follow you. They will follow you into any eventuality because you demonstrate that you care and that you're honest about what your strengths are and what your deficiencies are, and you're committed to continually work to improve. And that's really the challenge. That's really the challenge. Too often, leaders think they have the answers. You don't.
Yeah, and let's be honest, nobody's perfect, and the word perfect, in my opinion, shouldn't exist because almost everything can be improved, including ourselves. Right, and including our processes. So, yeah, I think that was a great way to finish up our discussion today. So, Jeff, you said that you have a book on Thin Ice coming out. If any of our audience was interested in your book or connecting with you, is there a way they can do that online?
The best way to reach me is Jeff Weninger on LinkedIn. And on
Okay.
that, you'll have a there'll be a link to be able to do the pre-sale list for the book. And
Awesome.
there's I also am on LinkedIn with law enforcement consultants. You can also find my company there. But yeah, absolutely. I tell you, the book is going to be an eye-opener, because the
I'll
honesty in which
bet.
I confront these issues with is going to open up people's eyes and hopefully inspire them and give them hope for the future. And I think that we can move forward in a very positive way. And my criticism is due to my loyalty to law enforcement, my commitment to seeing it su be successful, not to try to tear it down. But there
Of
are
course, yeah.
areas where we need to improve.
And you've got to look at the bad stuff in order to, really do improve and make things better. Wow, thank you so much for sharing all of your experience today and also sharing about your book. I really appreciate you being on the podcast.
Thank you for having me.
A thank you to our audience as well. We hope you were able to gain some valuable information or tips today. If you are a leader who knows that leadership coaching, consulting, and community are the way to grow on your journey, or perhaps you want to be a leader one day and learn more about our RISE leadership programs, please visit us at amplifyingleadership.ca, a Twin Lake Coaching and Business Services division. Until next time, remember, leadership matters.